I give you a chance to turn your Bible this morning to the book of Hosea. I give you a little time because that's not one of those easy books to find. You got a Scopeville Bible, page 925 is where we're going to be. And so we're looking in that one. And so we look at the book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets. We have what we call the major prophets, the minor prophets. At least that's what people put the titles to them. I don't like it. I just call him one of the prophets. And I'll make them think that they're little prophets, and the others are big prophets and so forth, the major and the minor. But it's because it's smaller books, the reason they call them the minor. All the prophets are great. Thank God for them giving us what we have in the precious Word of God. We do count it a joy to be at the house of the Lord and be able to count it. I kind of like this. I was looking and they was talking about the Pauline epistles. I don't imagine Paul would like to be called Pauline, but anyhow, we don't... I look at these scriptures, and I don't want to call big books and little books, all the Bible, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. Amen. For instruction and all those things. So we thank God for it. Are you ready? Well, here, no pay. Give me an amen if you're to Hosea. All right, stand, and let's read together in chapter number 7 of the book of Hosea. And we're going to look at verse number 8. We're going down to look at verse number 8, and I'm going to read verse 8 through 11. That'll be our text this morning, bringing you a message and a thought that God's placed upon our heart. And I pray that the Lord will bless while we're looking at this morning. The Bible said in Hosea chapter 7, verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. And they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove, without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. And we'll stop right there. I want you to be seated, and we'll pray together. And I'll give you the message God's laid upon my heart. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of being at the house of the Lord. Thank you for the goodness of God for watching over us through the night, giving us another night of rest, and making us up about the business of the Father today. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now while we're here at the house of God. Open our minds of understanding. Lord, I pray today that you'll stir our souls and minds, and we'll give you the glory for it. If there's one on the sound of a voice that does not know you as Savior, I pray this will be a day that, Lord, they call upon your name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Father, I pray this morning for anybody out of the will of God that you'll touch their heart. May, Lord, the hand of God be real to us. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. This morning in heaven, the privilege, I was reading a little periodical I found in 1926. It was written by some out yonder, and I read a little portion in it, and it said the little boy was plowing in the field. And he was plowing the horse and going down the crops and doing, getting ready for planting, and maybe the planting was being done. And he got tired, sat down under a tree and looked up at the end of the row and clouds, and he saw the clouds said PC. Clouds formed a PC. And he said, well, I know what that means. That means preach Christ. And so he took the mule to the barn and got rid of that and started out on the road to preaching, and pretty soon found out that wasn't what he's supposed to be doing. It didn't work. And he told his daddy, and his daddy had been fussing at him all the time, and he said, well, Daddy, said, I was sitting on the tree, and it said PC in the clouds. He said, yes, sir, don't you understand? That says plow corn. Now, I'm here this morning to preach Christ, and I do believe that God has called me to preach. Amen. I believe every preacher ought to know that. Amen. I give God the glory. I'm not here this morning to touch your emotions and to stir your heart in that sense. And I'm not here this morning to stir your flesh, to make you mad at me. But I am here this morning to stir your soul, to see if you're right and ready to meet God when you die. Amen. I'm glad that I know if I lost my life today, or if I drawed my last breath and the Lord called me home, or if the Lord come in the rapture, I'm glad this morning to say that I know that I've been redeemed, been washed in blood, and I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God I've got a home on the other side, and I give God the glory for it. I was thinking about this little thought I had to write it down. God just kept walking and working with me on this. I was riding up the road this morning after 6 o'clock, and I thought about the God of peace. God put a peace in my soul to know that I've been redeemed. And so God gave me this little thought. Here it is. The God of peace, who is the author of peace and the giver of peace, who sent the prince of peace to preach the gospel of peace, presented me this peace and sent me to preach the gospel of the peace to those who have no peace, that they could have this same peace that passes all understanding. Praise God for the gospel of peace. Amen. Now look with me this morning in this scripture. I want to talk about Ephraim. Ephraim is the second son of Joseph, who is the son of Jacob, who is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. That's backwards from what it usually is. They said, I'm the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we find this morning that he is the second son of Joseph. And his name means double fruitful, or doubly fruitful this morning. It means that he's double fruitfulness. And so we look at that little thought for a minute. And I want to look at the things of the Word of God, what happened to Ephraim here. Some things happened to him, and we'll learn this. And I believe the church this morning can learn a lesson from Ephraim. Looking at Ephraim here, the Bible said in verse number 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. So, preacher, I don't see anything there. First of all, I want to say Ephraim lost his identity. He lost his identification. He lost who he was. He lost his respect. Now, why did he lose his respect? And I want to say to you, in this modern day, that our churches have lost their identity. They have lost their identification. They have lost their respect. There was a time when people respected the house of God more than they respect the house of God today. There was a time when people had a strange, and I'm talking about a spiritual, religious feeling for the house of God, that the church was just something extraordinary, special to them. Brother, there'd be things that they looked at and respected the house of God. And now church is not much in the eyes of people. It's lost its identification. It's lost its respect. Why did Ephraim lose his respect? It tells you right there in verse number 8. First of all, he hath mixed himself among the people. Now, brother, when we get the place that the church cannot and will not and does not separate from the world and live a dedicated, consecrated, holy life, brother, I'll tell you, the church loses its identification. Brother, there must be separation in the life of every born-again believer. We must be separate. And brother, we need to do it. You know what's happened to the church today? She's become blended. We're blended in with the world. You look in the world and you find the church. You look into the church and you find the world. Brother, people in the house of God sitting on pews are not much different from the people that are out yonder on the Lord's Day doing things that are secular and things today that has nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, you'll find God's people dabbling into the things that the world dabbles in, and they even do it on the Lord's Day. Hey, there's no separation. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate. And a church will not separate itself from the things of this world, brother, will be a church that will lose its identification. Amen. Now, I want to take this a little easy. Some of you look like you've had a hangover. Amen. Some of you look like you got the brakes on. It feels like somebody got the brakes on. Amen. I feel, this morning, the touch of the darkness of this world pulling back. And I pray this morning God loosen you. And you get the place that you're at the house of God and realize that you're at the house of God. And let's look at the Word of God. We need the preaching of the blessed book. Now we look at these things, we'll find some things that's happening too. Matter of fact, it reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you'll turn there just for a moment, hold your place in Hosea. And it said in chapter number 3, this know also, this is in the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, What is perilous? Dangerous times. Brother, we are living in dangerous times. Perilous times shall come. I want to say this morning, and I'm not changing the Word of God, that perilous times have come. They're here this morning. Then it said in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We could preach an hour each on every one of them. He said, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And you can read on down through there. And brother, it just is a good description of how the church is. You turn to Revelation chapter number 3, and the Bible talks about the Laodicean church that's neither warm and not hot nor cold, but it's just warm, and it makes God sick. And God said, because they're not hot nor cold, but they're lukewarm, He said, I'll spew them out of my mouth. I want to tell you, they said, we have need of nothing. We've got everything we want. We're living in a time like that today. And brother, the church has lost its identification. And it's lost its respect. You believe that? Amen. Brother, when a nation loses its respect, brother, our nation's at the place of losing its respect worldwide. Brother, when you look at a church that's lost its respect nationwide, when you look at a nation or a church, and then you look at an individual like you and me, what make up the house of God today, and we begin to lose our respect and our identity because we're not what we used to be and not what we say we are. Brother, I'll tell you today, brother, people have no respect, and it's hard to get people to come to the house of God. Brother, they'll make fun in life at the church. God help us. You know what happens? We lose our values. Now, Ephraim come to place, he had mixed in. Brother, the church has come to place that what she wants to do is just to mix in today. Brother, we've begin to be mixers, good socializers. Amen. We all want to have a good time. I get despised at these things. I really do. Brother, when the weather opens up and it gets warm, everybody's wanting to go on vacation, travel here and there. I despise vacations. Amen. I'll tell you right, people looking, you know what they're looking for today? They're not looking for the Lord to touch them. They're looking for how many vacations can, when they go looking on job to try, they're looking at the benefits. How many weeks do I get off? Amen. How many weeks do I get for vacation? They're looking for what kind of insurance, amen, or what kind of retirement. All that's foreign to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I'll change my preaching on that when you show me in the Bible where God wants us to be worried and concerned. Hey, I got a vacation. I'm due a vacation. Glory to God, I'm going to get one. The Bible said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen. Amen. Brother, when I get out of this world and get on the other side, amen, I'll have my time. Brother, they're all on vacations, traveling here, and weather gets that way. You know what happens? Then when it gets a little fall comes up and they start wanting to get into the hunting season. Amen. Hunting season gets over and they're in the football season. And it's just something going on all the time. Why ain't it one of these days we just get the place and we'll start living for God? Amen. Can you imagine your forefathers? Them that had the farms out there, they didn't get no vacations. I never know my mama, my daddy, either one ever going on a vacation. Amen. We done good just to go see the family every once in a while. Amen. That's right. That was a treat to get to go see Grandma and Grandpa. Now we see Grandma and Grandpa so much now, we don't even want to see them no more. We'd rather go to the beach or the mountains. That's right. We're more concerned about our retirement and what we're going to have when we get to be at Social Security age. Amen. And the Bible teaches us we live by faith. Yes, sir, preacher, I'm living by faith. I got a $400,000 life insurance plan. And I've got myself so much money put back. And one of these days, I'm going to take it easy. Hey, even when they retired, but how many of you remember your parents, the old forefathers back there, ever retired and went out of business and didn't do anything? They kept working. They worked till they died. Amen. Well, what makes you think you're any better than they are now? Ephraim mixed in with the people. When he mixed in with the people, he got like the people. You mix in with the world, you get like the world. You get the smelling like the world. You get the blending in. Anybody know what blending is? Amen. Well, one time somebody gave my mom and daddy, daddy was at work and he didn't know much about all that, but somebody gave us a bunch of paint. It was a half a bucket of this and a half a bucket of that. And a half a bucket of something else. Amen. Some of it was oil-based, some of it was latex and water-based. And we went out there and figured out which one it was. And some of them had some green paint and some blue paint and some pink paint and some purple paint and everything. And you know what I done? I started mixing it. Amen. And I got a color and had enough now to paint the room, and we painted whatever color it come out. Can you imagine? Amen. But can I tell you this? Can I go down to the hardware store and get a half a gallon, or get a gallon of, say, let's say, some blue? I'm going to get some blue paint. And I'm going to come over here and I'm going to get me a bucket of yellow paint. And I take another bucket and I pour all the blue paint in one. And I pour all the yellow paint in on top of it. Have you ever seen it kind of swirl? Now, I ain't going to stir it up or nothing. Oh, no. I'm going to get me a paintbrush and I'm going to start painting. And when I paint it, you're going to see a streak of blue and a streak of yellow. It's going to be all mixed up. And it's going to get on down here. And by the time I get to the end of the wall, it's going to be all green. And you look at the wall and said, looky there. Couldn't have done that if I'd have wanted to. Amen. And you look at, you know, guess what happens? When you get to the end of it, and the time you get down the color of it, brother, you're going to get whatever color. It's either going to be a dark green or a light green. Depending on how much blue you had in it and how much yellow got mixed with it. And you're going to look at it, it's going to finally end up. And now you got green. You said, I want some more yellow. Ain't no more yellow. White got blended in. I want some blue. There ain't no more blue in there. Blue's done got. And you can't get it apart no more. And brother, when you get a church member out in the world, smelling like the world, looking like the world, acting like the world, brother, you can't hardly get the world out of them. Now you know where my headache's at. Trying to get the world out of you. Amen. Well, Ephraim mixed himself with the people. Number two, thirdly, number two, something else happened to him. He not only lost his identification and his respect, but secondly, he lost his usefulness. That's what happens to us, saints of God, when we start mixing in with the world. Ephraim, in verse 8, he hath mixed himself among the people. Then the last phrase of this verse said, Ephraim is a cake not turned. What in the world does that mean, preacher? He's a cake, it's not turned. He's cooked on one side and he's done. But he's not done on the other. A cake on one side, heated and cooked, it can be burned on one side and dough on the other. Nobody wants to eat a cake like that. It's fit for nothing to be cast aside and thrown away. We need to be full-baked cakes, amen, for the cause and glory of God this morning. Amen. So we get to looking at ourselves today, and you said, what's happened to us? We like the salt that's lost its savor. Salt that's no good. You ever set salt out? There's a time you can shake a half a bottle of salt on your green beans and never even taste it because the savor is gone out of the beans. That salt's no good. You might as well throw it away. God said that's what's happened to Ephraim. He's a cake unturned. He's not useful anymore. He's like a light that's put under a bushel and can't be hid, cannot be seen, but it's hid now. We are like that today. We get them fooling around and playing around and slumping around with the world. Brother, we get that place. We're like a diseased body. A diseased body wants to do and wills to do and wishes to do, but a diseased and sick body cannot do it. And we recognize our limitations. And Ephraim is limited to what he can do. And if you've been playing around with the world and lost your identification, you're also like salt and lost your savor. You're useless. God help me, I don't want to be useless. I want to be able to sprinkle some kind of life and help somebody along the journey, even after I'm, amen, getting old and feeble. And after I'm gone, I want something to be left behind. Don't you? Now, Ephraim, we find he lost his usefulness. He's lost his identification. Number three. Let's look at this. We'll find out in verse number 10, strangers have devoured his strength.
strangers. That's what the world are. Now the Bible talks and tells us today that we're pilgrims and strangers in this world. We're strangers to the world. But what's happened, the world is foreign to the things of God. The world don't look like look after the things of God. The world don't like the things of God. It despises the things of God this morning. The Bible teaches us that the preaching is foolish to the world. But to us who believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. And as we look in the precious, perfect, holy Word of God this morning, we find the third thing about Ephraim that's happened to it. He not only lost his identification and lost his usefulness, but he lost his strength. Now he can't stand. See what he says in verse number 9, strangers have devoured his strength. They devoured his strength. You know, today the church is weak. There used to be a time when the preacher preached and the church said, we're going to do this. And this is what we believe. People stood back and said, this must be right. There was a time in America when the preacher and the church exalted the Lord Jesus and preached the Word of God, and what the Bible taught and what the church said happens to be the rule out there in the world. And people said, we will abide with what God says, but today they will not have it today if the Bible says it. Why? Because we've lost our strength. The church has no more strength today to change things in society. Matter of fact, now they're changing things on us. Why is Christianity being despised and hated and rejected? Why is it today people don't like the Bible anymore? Why is it they don't like the preacher to preach the strong Word of God anymore? Why is it they get upset and disturbed? I'll tell you why. Because we have rejected God and we said no to God and our hearts have gotten hardened. And now we've lost our strength. We don't have this strength anymore. Amen. Churches now, they're just on the side and they just do what they want to do as far as the world's concerned, as long as they don't step on the toes of the world. As long as they don't try to change their path. Preacher, you can preach all you want to. Just don't try to change my life. I'm not trying to change anybody's life. But I do pray today that the Word of God, which changed mine, will change yours. And I try to preach the Word of God, and that's what God's trying to teach us. He lost his strength. And now, since the church has lost its strength, we have not enough power to resist temptation. If you've lost your strength, you can't fight temptation. The Bible teaches us we are going to be tempted. And the reason we're tempted is because we're human, and on top of that, Brother, God's not a respecter of persons, and God wants us to make the choice. And so He gives us that temptation. Now, God don't tempt us, but He lets the devil do it. And those temptations, Brother, we can be strong in the Lord. God can keep us from being tempted above what we're able, but He can give us a way of escape from being tempted too much and falling into temptation. I believe that with all my heart. Now, if we go a little bit further in the Scriptures, I pray that you'll look at these things and see it. Brother, our strength, we don't have a strength to stand. There used to be a time when church people stood against it. You know why the world's caving in on the church? You know why the church today is being swept to the side? It's because God's people don't stand now like they used to stand. And one reason we don't stand is because we don't see any reason to stand. We done fell for everything. Amen. We come too weak. Our convictions might say, well, if you've got any convictions, you'll stand for those convictions. The fact is, most church folks don't have too much conviction. Ooh. That's right. Our convictions are little and small, so we don't stand for them this morning. Amen. The devil knows what he's doing when he's trying to do what he can. Now, let me show you a bad thing of this. We don't have the strength. But look in verse 9. Strangers have devoured his strength. And the next four words, or five words said, and he knoweth it not. You know, the church today is represented in society and people see it. And the church is at the place it don't have the strength, but it does not even recognize that it don't have the strength. You know about Samson? Let me tell you about Samson. Samson's the strongest man on the earth at the time. Listen, you hear me? Went out there, pulled the gates up the city, walked out. He was a strong man, laid down the lap of Delilah. She tied him up with whips and went out there and he broke them away, tied him with ropes. wicked. And so when he broke that vow, and he told her his heart, they come out there and took red hot pokers and punched his eyes out and put him in the grinding house. And the Bible said that he wist not that the Lord had departed. He got up and shook himself and was going to whip those Philistines like he always did, and he didn't have the strength. Many of us in our churches today, we think we still got the power and the strength, and brother, we can make a difference in society and the lives of men and women. And guess what? We don't even recognize that the power is gone. Most churches have got Ichabod wrote on the door. The glory of the Lord hath departed. That's what Ichabod means. They don't know that the strength of God is gone. Guess what? Most of our churches are paralyzed. They can't handle, amen, the things of God anymore. They're weak need. God help us that we get strong again. Why? We've been fooling around with the world too long. Ephraim's an unturned cake. He's lost his strength with the people in the world. Amen. Hobnobbing with the world. You said, do you love the world? God does, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who shall believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I love the world when it comes to their souls. But I don't love the sin, amen, that's in the world. God hates sin, so do I hate sin. Amen. So we look at this, and people can't handle the preaching of God because they've lost their strength and don't even realize they lost their strength. Let me give you some signs in your life today to see if you've lost your strength. Let me just give you a few things. Jot these down this morning. Here are some signs, I believe, that we can add to this and look at it. First of all, we look in the Word of God and we'll find out there were some signs that Ephraim was losing strength. It's found in verse number 9. And he knoweth it not. Look at the last sentence. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. He didn't realize he'd lost his strength. What's gray hairs? Showing that our physical strength is being abated. Showing that our physical strength is going down. Showing that there's some age coming on. Like you get older, brother, you may want to do things, but you can't do things like you did 30 and 40 years ago. And gray hair. When you look in the mirror and see that gray hair, brother, you look at that and you say, hey, I'm losing my strength. And Ephraim had that in front of him. He saw the gray hair here and there. Amen. I looked in the mirror and found out mine ain't getting to be here and there anymore. It's getting to be everywhere. Amen. Amen. What I've got left is turned gray. The rest of it turned loose. And I want you to know I can realize and recognize this morning that I'm getting older. And then when I look at this, I said, I remember when I used to do that, and I used to do that. And us old men and women, we get to bragging around, I used to do this. You ladies said, I used to can 40 quarts of beans in one afternoon. And oh, you're talking about how you've done this and how you've done that. And now you can't even lift one finger to open a can. And I used to say, I've done this and I've done that. And we begin to brag. That's what old people do. What happens? The gray hair tells on us, and we can see now that we're getting weak. Our strength is getting gone, and we can't do what we used to do. Ephraim had some signs that he was growing weak. But I'll tell you this morning, when you begin to look at things and see that there is some things that you used to could do and that you can't do anymore, and when you get your spiritual looking at this thing from the spiritual eyes and look back and say, I used to witness to people. I used to be able to testify to people, and I used to be able to do this. And you see, you don't do it now. Guess what? You're finding out that you have lost your strength. And it's time to check it. Number two, you can tell this morning that you're growing weak, losing your strength by your appetite. Amen. Now, I'm getting up in years, and my appetite ain't gone. You can tell by looking. I love to eat. But I'm talking about the spiritual appetite. When you get the place in life when the Word of God don't mean as much to you anymore, and preaching don't mean as much to you anymore, and witnessing don't mean as much as you used to, and knowing and learning the Bible does not mean as much to you that you said, you're losing your strength spiritually. You've been playing around with the world too long. I believe God's people desire and love. perish the Word of God. Amen. A lot of people look forward to another meal. Matter of fact, most Americans, you know how we are? We eat one meal, by the time we get breakfast over, we say, what are we going to have for dinner? Amen. And I'm not talking to you city folks. I'm talking about the country folks' dinners for supper. Amen. Over there than city folks. And then we get dinner over at the middle of the day and we say, what are we going to have for supper? Amen. Some of y'all have been, while I'm preaching, your mind's been out in the gutter and you've been trying to think about what you're going to eat for lunch. Matter of fact, some of you prepared it before you got here, so you know pretty well what you're going to have, and you can already taste it. The rest of you know where you're going, what you plan to eat when you get there, probably. Understand? And so what happens when we get to the place and we're not looking forward to the next meal from the Word of God, for the next message we hear from the preacher, from the next time we get something from the Word, we lost our appetite, we're going to lose our strength. When you lose your appetite, you'll lose your strength. Thirdly, you can check it by how much earthly things and how much you love earthly things. You know, I found this out. Years ago, I used to like everything. Hey, man, I prided myself in trying to drive a fairly decent automobile. I've never been one to ride fancy cars because I couldn't afford them. But, hey, man, the old pickup truck and pride myself in it, try to make it look a little better every once in a while, you know, in the best way. And I wanted this and that. And sometimes I bought things, and I know you haven't done that, but sometimes I bought things and really didn't need them. I just wanted them. Amen. And don't tell me, I believe I'd probably go to your house and find a bunch of stuff for you. But I've said, I need that. Oh, I need that. Oh, I sure need that. And I've got some things at my house right now. I looked across something the other day. I forgot what it was now, but I see that's how important it was. And I looked at it and I said, I remember buying that. I thought, and I never have used it. There it is. I find things at my house like that. You can too. Some of you ladies probably got 10 or 15 pairs of shoes. You bought them, thought you need them, but you ain't worn them yet. And you said the reason I ain't worn them is because the occasion ain't came up yet. Understand. And what's happened is I used to love earthly things. And the more you love earthly things, you will not like the things of God. Now the older I get, I don't really care. Brother, the automobile could just get me where I'm going. And if it don't get me where I'm going, don't bother me much no more. Amen. I surely got enough friends maybe call up and say, come on, I got to get me off the road, take me to the house. Something. Amen. Is that right? Things don't bother me anymore. I just want enough to get me out of this world. Looks like I got more than I need right now. If I got God, and that's all I need. Amen. I praise God for it. When earthly things begin to take over. Amen. Another thing you can tell when your strength is getting weak is when you get to the place that you lose your hatred for sin. I despise sin. I despise sin. I do. I despise sin. When I see the drunks wobbling down the street and the drug addicts running over the hills, brother, and hurting them their lives, and I see those cussers and revilers and all those doing what they're doing in society today that's against the Word of God and watching them do the things and just destroying their own lives, and not only their lives, but the lives of others. Brother, I look at sin and what sin has done in my life, what it's done in your life, what it's doing in everybody else's life. Brother, I despise sin. I hate sin. And if you don't have a hatred for sin anymore, you can say this. You've lost your strength. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you right now, you can look at the things that's in your life and see whether you love the Word of God or not. And tell where your strength has been weak. And tell when you're not moved with the Spirit of God anymore. There was a time in your life when you was moved by God's Spirit. God dealt with you with the Word of God and taught you and told you. You listen to God and now you don't hear it anymore. You don't want to hear it. Guess what? He lost his strength. He lost his identity or his identification. Then secondly, he lost his usefulness. And then thirdly, he lost his strength. And then thirdly, don't you notice what he lost? Or fourthly, in verse number 10, the pride of Israel testified to his face. He lost his humility. The church has come to a place in its life and it's lost its humility. We're so much full of pride, it's pitiful. God hates pride. God wants humble people, brother. God wants us to love the lost. God wants us to love those that don't know the truth. God wants us to live our life to try to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got so much pride. Notice what it said. Verse 10, and the pride of Israel testified at this face, and they do not return to the Lord their God nor seek Him for all this. Why? They wouldn't come back to Him because they had too much pride. Did you know you can get so much pride in your life that you'll have too much pride to even repent of your sin? There's some people who will not go to the altar because they don't want to humble themselves and let everybody else see. They're afraid they're going to make a gazing stock, be made a gazing stock, and they're going to be put out in the limelight. I'll tell you right now, if God ever gets a hold of you with the Holy Ghost, strong enough in your heart, you won't care what anybody thinks. You'll get on your knees and cry out. Can I remind you of this? The Lord reached the ruler, came down to Jesus one day. He said, "Sir," he said, "what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, talked about the commandments, just kept all of them. It wasn't because he wasn't trying to keep the commandments. He was a righteous man. Amen. I mean, in his own eyes. In the world, and by the Bible, we would call him a religious man. You can be religious and be lost. But he wouldn't sell everything he had. He had too much pride for that. Can you think about the man that one day looked over and said, "Look, I've got all this. I built these barns." And he said, "Now look, I don't have anywhere to put it. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down all my barns. I'm going to build new barns and put everything I've got in it." And the Lord said, "This night thy soul will be required of thee." He lost everything he had because he had too much pride. Can you see the fellow come to the house of God with the old sinner, the old Pharisee, and he said, "Lord, I'm not like this man over here. I pray, I fast, I tithe. I'm not like him." But the Bible said that the old sinner wouldn't so much as even lift his eyes to heaven, but he smote on his breast. And he said, "God, be merciful to a sinner." He didn't have any pride. He got rid of that pride. But the Pharisee went on down the road lost. The saints of God, you can have that pride. You get that place you done found out this morning, you've been fooling around with the world too much. You have too much pride that you can't repent and can't confess. I believe I've met some church folks that used to live for God, used to love God, left the house of God, got out of the Bible, got out trying to live their life. You know, they've raised their kids here and there. I've seen them take their kids here and there. Take them away from God. And then they come back finally to the house of God. And they see they done run themselves in the wrong direction. But then they got so much pride, many times they wouldn't bow down. Can I remind you of the old prodigal boy? Old prodigal, he had so much pride, he wasn't about to stay at home. Brother, sin got in his life. He wanted to get over. Grass is greener on the other side of the hill, he thought. Took all his substance that the Father had given him. The Bible said he spent all his substance in righteous living. But then finally he got down there. He got hungry. Didn't even have no money in his pocket. He had to do something he didn't even like to do when he was at home. Go to work. And he got him a job, tending to the swine. In those days, brother, the Jews, they didn't play with, they didn't have swine. They didn't. That was a no-no. Amen. That was against the law. Guess what? He's doing something he'd been taught against. Got him a job doing something he'd been taught against. He's down at the hog lot. Brother, he got hungry at the hog lot. And I've always believed this and still do to this day. Believe that he got so hungry that the slop they were feeding the hogs, that he is feeding the hogs with, got the smelling so good. You know, you get hungry, you eat anything. Somebody says, "I wouldn't eat this and I wouldn't eat that." I asked somebody the other day, I said, "Oh, John the Baptist, eat grasshoppers. Would you eat grasshoppers?" I said, "No." And And I said, I wouldn't eat unless I got hungry. But I ain't going to promise you if I get hungry enough what I'll eat. Amen. Amen. I'm going to make no promises like that. And he sat there and he smelled it. And that hog slop got the smelling so good. He was just about ready to get out of there and move one of them hogs over. And the Bible said he came to himself. And he remembered that his servants, or the servants of his father's hired servants, had more than he had right there. And he said, hey, why are you better than this if I was just a servant back at my father's house? And I think I'd go back down to the father's house and tell him I've sinned. What if he had said, I got so much pride, I can't do that? You know what happened? He'd been eating hog slop the rest of his days. Amen. God took him on down. But he restored himself by coming back to the father's house. Well, I want you to know this morning that Ephraim went the wrong direction. He mixed himself with the people. When the church begins to mix with the world, take on the affiliations of the world, take on the affairs of the world, and begin to act like the world, begin to live like the world, begin to smell like the world, begin to be like the world, you lost your strength, your identity. Amen. I want to be separate. The Bible said, come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord. I'll be your father. I want to be separate, clean, dedicated. Oh, I missed the boat. I come short. I wobble. You do too. Thank God. God, to keep me in. Amen. Keep me going. I want to stay with God. I don't want to turn my back on the church of the Lord. I want to stay with God. His mouth. Oh, listen this morning. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. He said Ephraim was like an unturned cake. He's done on one side. Matter of fact, he was more than done. He was burnt. On the other side, he's still dough. He wasn't good enough. Something wrong with him. Listen, he's saying this morning that Ephraim had mixed himself with the world. He'd lost out. They didn't recognize him now as Ephraim anymore. He's just like they were. When you hobnob with sinners, brother, I believe we ought not to shun sinners, brother. We ought to love them. We ought to have a compassion for them. I believe we ought to pray for them. I don't believe I'm any better than anybody in the world. But I'm glad, thank God, God put the grace of God in my heart and made me different. Changed me from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. And the church is still the light that this world needs. The church is still the hope to get the gospel of grace out. And I'm glad I'm part of it. It's a battle, but I want to be a good soldier. It's a joy, but I don't want to get to dwell so much on the joy that I forget the sinner. Let's stand. 307 in the red book. Get you a red book. I don't know your heart, but God does. The altar's open. Make your way to the altar this morning if you need it. Or maybe I should say, make your way to the altar if the Lord's speaking. We know we need it. How about it? God's dealt with your heart. You've seen yourself losing your strength in the Lord. You saw yourself losing your identity. You saw yourself